Well, I bring greetings from the people of Sovereign Grace Church to you. We very regularly pray for you in our church and for your ministries. And we are also very thankful for your input and your participation in the work of the gospel in ministering to the Tamil-speaking people. It was also joyful meeting Pastor Lash in India last June, and again, I'm able to meet and fellowship with them here. It is always a joy to stay in our home, in their home, and the hospitality is amazing, and the rich fellowship, it has been great. We've been known each other for many years, and I greatly value that our friendship and fellowship in the Lord. So thank you again for your prayers for the work in India, and particularly now with the Bangalore, where the new building is being constructed. Pray that we'll be able to help these brethren there to settle the contractor and that they can move in into the building to begin worship. And they have a number of ministries with the school for the disabled children, and they do evangelistic work and many opportunities that God has given to that church. An able pastor, Murali, and it's a lovely brother who loves the Lord, and God is using him. So do pray earnestly that the Lord will bless that work, and more churches can be planted. I think you would have heard Pastor Mitch saying that he would like to see 150 Reformed Baptist churches in India. Well, I wish that I have that same enthusiasm. But sure, the Lord is able to do mighty things. So keep praying for them. Well, we are going to look at Luke, Gospel of Luke, and chapter 10 and verse 2 in particular this morning. And let me read that verse to you, and then we'll pray, and then we will look at God's Word. This is the words that Jesus said. And in verse 2, then he said to them, "The harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Now let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this Lord's Day. We thank you that we can come together to worship you, to meet with you, to hear your word, and we thank you for the reminders about the great work of Reformation and Luther's contribution, and how that stirs our heart even in our day, that we need to have the same conviction and courage and strength as you granted these to Luther. We pray that we would be men of conviction and will continue to proclaim your word boldly in all places. And we pray and ask that you would help us as we consider your word, that you would teach us, you would help us to be humble, that we might receive your word, gladness of heart, that we would be challenged by it, examining our own hearts, that we would do that which is necessary with your help for the propagation of the gospel. So we pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, there's no way one or two people can ever do the work of God. Even the Son of God, who was full of wisdom and mighty, recognized the need to train up people so that they could speak on his name in the community. Now here in Luke chapter 10, the gospel writer records for us the Lord sending out the 70. Some versions have 72. He sent them out to places where he himself will eventually go in order that they would be his witnesses. Now notice the text that says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 other also. In other words, the sentence takes us back to chapter 9 to show us that already the Lord had appointed 12 disciples, 12 apostles, giving them power to preach the kingdom of God and also to heal the sick. In verse 6, it says, so they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now, comparing the appointment of these two groups, the 12 and the 70, we can identify that the 12 were to be more prominent appointment for a specific work, and the 70 were a temporary group to take the message of Christ to the community. Now, nevertheless, Jesus gave both groups clear instruction for the task, which included the way of conduct while they were on the job. Now, the Lord knew that the time has come to rely on people to take the message to the community and to further afield. He wasn't egocentric. He wasn't self-centered. He wasn't going to do the work all by himself forever, but was willing to spend this energy to call and to train up men for the work. The result of that was the appointment of the 12 apostles and the 70. Now let us consider verse 2 of this passage this morning, obviously keeping the context in mind. Now I have 5-point sermon for this morning. Normally don't do or give that many points, but that doesn't mean I'm going to keep you here forever. Now the headings are very simple and it is very easy to keep in mind. First of all, identity. Secondly, rarity. And thirdly, anxiety. We also called it as a burden. Then fourthly, urgency. And finally, remedy. So let's go through each one of them. Identity. Who were these 70? That's the question we need to ask. And twice the term that is used, laborers. That's the word that is used, laborers. An English translation of the Greek word, which simply means workers who are hired to do a work, usually the agricultural work. Now, that is the literal meaning of the word. Now, the same word is used elsewhere with the same meaning. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 18, where we read the Apostle Paul says, the Scripture says, you shall not muscle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. You have the word laborer. And verse 17 in that passage tells us that this is used to identify the elders or pastors of the church. And verse 17, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. Now, the word alone doesn't help us to identify the people, but the word is used to indicate the character of the work. The context of the passage helps us to identify who these men are. Gospel workers, preachers of the gospel, the frontline soldiers in the kingdom work. Not necessarily all the apostles. In today's context, they are those who would be recognized as pastors or elders, those who are in full-time ministry in churches, or church planters who go out to establish churches in other countries, in other cities. During the time of the apostles, there were also evangelists who preached the gospel. So these were the men in mind when the Lord said, laborers. We need laborers. They need to be raised up. Secondly, rarity. The laborers are few. Now that's what Jesus says here. The harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. And therefore pray that the Lord of the harvest would send out laborers. Few, they are few. Why? Now, this is intriguing, coming from the mouth of the Son of God. And I was really thinking about text for a long time. Why? What is it that he cannot do? He's the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, is divine and fully human, who came to this world to accomplish the very purposes for which the Father sent him to this world. He had power. He's a sovereign Lord. He can do a lot. He can do mighty things. And he knows the past, present, and the future. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And what is it that he can't do? But he, in his humanity, and he says the laborers are few. And that's amazing. It's coming out of the mouth of the Lord. And he himself recognized that the gospel labors demands qualified men. If anyone could be sent out to do the work, now he would not have said that the laborers are few. He recognized the glorious work of representing him in the community that demanded some character and qualification from the men will be sent out. Such men are always few. The word few speaks of the number. They are not many. They are few. Why are they few? The text helps us to know why they are few. And it's all just right here. And I hope this would help us to understand why they are few. And to understand what sort of a men that need to be raised up, the kind of laborers who are needed for the work. So I have traced that here in the previous chapter, in chapter 9, and that we have some things that we can see there. Then I have three more reasons as well. Now notice here in chapter 9, number of things. And those were close to the Lord. They had a glorious privilege of being with the Lord Jesus Christ as they saw the transfiguration. It was amazing. Amazing privilege some of these men were given. And later we read when we come to verse 46 of chapter 9, and then a dispute arose among them as to which of them would be greatest. Which of them would be greatest? They had a glorious privilege to see the transfiguration. Amazing privilege. And here, they are full of themselves. They were disputing to see which one of them would be greatest. And we read there that Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart in verse 47, took a little child and set before him. We surely would be crossed if a man behaved like that. It'll be disappointing, won't it? It'll be disappointing. Here is the Lord is working hard to train up and raise these men for a greater work. They ought to be humble men. And they have seen that humility in his life. There are many evidences that were presented to them to see the humility of the Lord. But now they were given this privilege, but they had completely forgotten about that. They were disputing to the fact who would be the greatest. And the Lord was so patient with them, humble. And he gives them this illustration. You need to be like the little child. Now, I'm sure it is disappointing to the Lord. And it gets worse as you read. And when you come to verse 51, Now it came to pass when time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He must go to Jerusalem. He must face the persecution that eventually he's going to be put to death. And he sent messengers before his face. Our Lord was conscious of that. Men need to be sent out to preach the gospel. And he sent messengers before his face as they went. They entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. They were to go out to prepare the way. And the Lord would go and he would preach. And in verse 53 we read the Samaritans did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. Samaritans, they don't get on very well with the Jews. If you are going to Jerusalem, don't come to our place. We have nothing to do with you. So they did not receive his message. Now notice what happens. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, these men were taught and trained by the Lord. They said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come from down, from heaven, to consume them, just as Elijah did? James and John wanted to destroy the Samaritans for rejecting the gospel. But he turned and rebuked them. And he said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Don't go and preach the gospel, and if people refuse to hear the gospel, take the gun and shoot. What kind of a spirit is that? And these men lacked humility. We saw that this is worse. And it's like Jonah who was sent to preach the gospel, and those people repented in Nineveh, and he didn't like it. Well, that the Lord must bring judgment on them. These people repent. What is he going to do? He wanted the Lord to get rid of them. He was very upset that they repented. And of course, God taught him a lesson there. And these men are not getting the point. Our Lord himself had difficulty in training up men. And they lacked humility. At times they did not understand the nature of the gospel. Almost kind of lacked that burden that they ought to have for souls. If they don't hear us, then let's get rid of them. Then look at another one in verse 57. In chapter 9, now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, that to the Lord, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Wherever you go. Did he understood what he was saying? But he's promising, I'll do anything for you. I'll be with you. You can count on me. I'm trustworthy. I'm loyal. I'm going to be with you. I'll do anything you want me to do. And Jesus knew the hearts of men. And this is what he said. Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He detected what was in the heart of man. He was teaching him gently. If you are going to follow me, you must be prepared to accept anything. You're not going to have a five-star hotel to be in. You're not going to have wealth and security in life. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. You've seen a few types of men so far. We need to train up people. We need to raise people. Gospel ministry, preaching of the kingdom demands sound men, qualified men, loyal men. There's another one in verse 59. Then he said to another, follow me. Our Lord himself is calling me. Follow me. What a privilege it is. But what did he say? Lord, let me first go and bury my father. I have things to do at home. I have other responsibilities that I need to meet. Yes, I would follow you. But give me some time. Let me go and deal with all, and then I'll come to you. And Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Another man. Here is another one, verse 61. And another said to him, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. There's no wonder the Lord said, the laborers are few. Look at each of these characters. They're trying to compete with one another, the men who are already selected. Who is going to be the prominent figure, the leader? Then here, some were sent to preach the gospel to the Samaritans. When they didn't hear, receive the gospel, they wanted to destroy them, to bring fire from heaven to destroy them. There were others who were not ready, who were coming out with excuses, bold proclamation, I'll do anything for you, but mere words. And the Lord detected that. And there are a few others, they're not ready. No wonder he said, the laborers are few. They are few. Well, there are more we can look at. Answers to this question, why they are few. Another one, normally, people are, in our society, in our community, Christians will be keen to complete their studies and look for a job. There's nothing wrong with that. They should do that. They need to bring the bacon home. Now, not everyone is going to be interested in Christian work. There's nothing wrong in doing secular work, which is a noble thing to do, but people do naturally think about secular work and train themselves to do that work. They're not coming to Christian ministry. Nobody's going to put their hands up and, I want to be a soldier for Christ. I want to preach the gospel. There's another reason. The laborers are few. That's what we pray, that the Lord would raise up laborers. And of course, there's another reason. Qualifications are needed. You've got to meet up the qualifications. It just can't anybody to be a kingdom worker. So many may have the desire to come to the ministry, but they may lack the qualifications. The qualifications are clearly laid out in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. There are other qualifications apart from the ones that are mentioned there in those chapters. Trustworthiness. He must be a trustworthy man. He must be a reliable man. You can count on. He must be a loyal man. He's not going to go away one day packing his bags like Demas, who loved the world. Was gone. Punctuality. I talk a lot about that in India. You may not have a problem with that here. Never on time. Never on time. But it's amazing. The railway system is quite good in India. The British did that. They run on time. I don't know how they do it. Coming from North India, from Delhi, going down to the south, every station, they come on time. But the people don't learn punctuality. It is not in their system, in their blood. They're always late. Always late. Proactive. Proactive. Not waiting to be reminded. Men who think through, think forward, get things done. He's a go-getter. These are essential qualifications to do God's work. Then also comes the spiritual qualifications such as humility, servanthood, the spiritual passion for the work. Now, even the secular work may demand some of these things, but most of these are essential to God's work, to be a laborer in the kingdom of God. The trouble is, not everyone will possess these qualities. So that narrows down the list. No wonder he said the laborers are few. We need laborers, and he knows that, but they are few. You cannot have such laborers unless the Lord of harvest raises them up. Well, there is another one. Thirdly, such men cannot be found or raised up by using normal earthly methods. That's what many people go after today. It's not that difficult to raise up laborers, so they use the worldly methods. Now, if a company needs a computer specialist, now they are going to hire a company that specializes in finding qualified people for such a job. Then the company will have to simply pay the other company to do the work. So they will figure out who would meet the qualification and will recommend to this company. Now that process may take time, but eventually some people would be found to do the work, either from here or from overseas. Well, I don't know, Trump would like that. But no one is going to pull their hair over it and worry about it. That vacant seats will be filled up. The workers would come. But when it comes to Christian work, to be an elder or a pastor or a church planter or a gospel work, such worldly methods will not work. Many will have necessary certificates to show that he is qualified, but the spiritual work demands something out of the ordinary. You need to be called by God. You need to be equipped by God for this task. You need to have those spiritual qualifications along with all the other things we have mentioned. You cannot put your hand into the plow and walk away. You cannot be in the kingdom work and keep your eyes on the world all the time. You need to be passionate. You need to be willing to serve the Lord, even to give your life for the cause of the gospel, if that's what the Lord is going to demand from you. The Lord was conscious of these. And that is why he made this statement, the laborers are few. They are few. They are few. As the Lord is speaking to you, maybe one day that you had a desire to be in a Christian work, to be a deacon or an elder, and all the other pressures mounting up, more work, more pay, family, children, and then your enthusiasm decreases and decreases, and you're just attending church and being a member. Nothing more than that. This happened, right? Laborers are few. Laborers are few. Kingdom work demands laborers. We need in our church. I need an elder. I need deacons. I need people. They are few. Pastors always do pray that the Lord would raise up qualified men. The Lord would raise up humble men, dedicated men, trustworthy and loyal men who begin to demonstrate these qualities in the normal life of the church. And the Lord said, the laborers are few. Then also thirdly, look at the anxiety. Behind these words that laborers are few, there is a clear anxiety in the words of Christ. It's not some sinful anxiety. It is more that concern. I would call it better a burden that was in his heart. A burden of needing more laborers. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. That he knows that he has to go to Jerusalem, that he must face the cross, that he's not going to be there forever, that he's going to be resurrected, he's going to be in heaven, to be seated at the right hand of the Father. You need laborers here and now. This work must continue. And the one who knows all things, all wise God, that he in his humanity, that he heard, he had this burden. They are few. Are we burdened with this? The laborers are few. He was anxious. This year, I've been on 26 plus years been traveling to India. Sometimes you can't help look back and what did God do? What have you done? Yes, there are a lot of encouragements. There's also disappointments. A lot of encouragements and disappointments. But we need, my burden is to see more men to be raised up. And I know that I am not going to live forever. And probably if the health continues in the same way, another 7, 8, 10, you never know. You come to a certain age, then things are going to fall apart. Not happened to me yet. Little niggles like kidney stone, but that's okay. Nothing major yet, but you know. So you need to train up men. So I'm trying to do something new this time. Out of the older pastors, select some good men. To train them up, they can go to another level. We need more men. We need to have that burden. We need to have that burden. And our Lord had that burden. They are few. They're few. The laborers are few. Do we have that burden for our community? To reach out to the community. What about asking yourself, why am I not offering to do something for the gospel work? What am I doing as far as the work of the gospel is concerned? We need to pray that the Lord would save people. But he's going to do that through us. He's going to use us as means to do that. Have you asked that question? He was burdened with that. They are few. They are few. Fourthly, urgency. Urgency. They are few. It was not some kind of, as I said, sinful anxiety. It was a strong, a deep burden within his heart. But there was another reason for that burden too. He says, the harvest is great. The harvest is great. The King James Version says, the harvest is great. The New King James Version, the harvest truly is great. The New American Standard says, the harvest is plentiful. It is not that people are not there to hear the gospel. They are there. You see sinners all over the place. If everybody is saved, there's no reason for us to preach the gospel. There are sinners everywhere, next door, in your workplace, everywhere. They are there. And we think sometimes they may not listen to us or give an ear to us, then sometimes you're surprised, don't you? You talk to them and they want to listen. They want to hear you. And then we are surprised. But our Lord says that the harvest is great. There are people everywhere. And he wants laborers to be sent. Harvest is great. Let's not be pessimistic. Be optimistic. The gospel will work. It will work. It is the Lord's gospel. He's given the powerful gospel. And only the gospel can save people through the work of the Holy Spirit. Nothing else will work. Only it's God's word. Luther believed that. Otherwise, he wouldn't have translated the scriptures. It is not human methods, but it's the word of God. So he believed that. The word has the power. The apostle Paul believed that. I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. He believed that. We believe not in ourselves. We believe in God and in the work of the Holy Spirit and in the power of the word. So we simply be the messengers and pass on the messenger to the people with compassion and burden in our heart. The harvest is great. The harvest is great. But the laborers are few. The laborers are few. You know the village church in India, in Veerapalayam, it is surrounded by many villages. Nobody has ever taken the gospel to those villages. I keep reminding these people, you are the messengers for these villages. You are right here. I am not here. Now you people must have burden for them. Leave the work of saving souls unto God. But your work is to take that message to those people. It doesn't matter how many times you do that. Relentlessly go after them with much prayer. Opportunities also bring the opportunity to pray, to be on our knees to pray for them. The Lord will break through one day and you will be amazed. So keep doing it. Don't be frustrated when they don't hear you the first time, second time, and third time. Keep at it. Go after them with the gospel. But that is power unto salvation. And the Lord recognize the urgency. It has to be done now. It has to be done now. It has to be done every day. But the laborers are few. We learn from our Lord Himself. Then the remedy. Fifthly and finally, the remedy. Therefore pray that the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. New King James Version. Pray that the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. So look at the first of all, the source of the harvest, the Lord. The Lord of the harvest. We need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray to Him. We need to pray for laborers. We need to pray that God would stir your hearts. He would speak to you, that He would raise up men even from here. We need to pray. We all together, we pray that the Lord answers prayers. We need to keep at it. That the Lord of the harvest, let's not forget who is the Lord of the harvest. It is Him, the one who is crucified and resurrected and who is the King of Kings in heaven. He is the Lord of the harvest. Our methods will not save people, but He must bless the harvest. He is the one who does that work through His Holy Spirit, saves people. If you are not a Christian, a young person without Christ, think about it. The Lord is able to save you from your sins. You put yourself under the ministry of the word again and again and again. It's a blessed thing. The Lord will break through into your heart that He will save you from your sins. Believe that. God is able to do that. He is the source of the harvest. Secondly, the sending authority of the laborers. Pray that He will send out. He is the one who is doing that. He is the one who is able to speak to us. Put that powerful burden in our hearts that He will send out. We need to pray that such men of conviction would be raised up, that He is the sending authority. Thirdly, the human responsibility. It is not all that God and just we do nothing. We need to pray. First of all, pray. Let's pray. We need to pray. Prayer is such an important thing. We need to pray with conviction. We need to pray knowing the promises of God's word. He has said, and He is requesting us to pray. He says to pray that the Lord of the harvest would send out laborers. And we not only pray, then we need to equip people. We need to keep out of the looking for people. How do they demonstrate their Christian graces? How do they live? And we need to go along with them, talk to them, encourage them, then equip them, raise them up. Thank God some of the men in India, so thankful. If I haven't given my time to those men, they wouldn't be where they are now. But the Lord used me as well in helping them. We need to do that. Pray and look out for such men and equip them. Train them up all the time, trusting upon the Lord alone. And the Lord said, the laborers are few, but the harvest is great. The harvest is great. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send out the laborers into the vineyard, into the kingdom work. Well, by way of application, let me ask you a number of questions this morning. Do you see people of the community with real needs? Do you see them out there? Do you see them as souls without Christ? Sinners need to be saved. Do you see them that way? You see as men and women and young people and children look like us, but they are without God, without Christ, living for themselves, living for the things of the world, and faced with eternal destruction. How do you see them? How do you view them? The Lord said, the harvest is great. I need laborers. I need laborers. How do you see them? How do you view them? Praying for your neighbors, souls that are not saved yet, in your own home, among your siblings. It's our responsibility, each one of our responsibility. We need to pray and do whatever that we can do with the help of God. Secondly, do you have a burden that they might be saved, not seeing and viewing them as they are? But are you praying for their salvation? Have you done anything, whatever it is necessary, to take the message of Christ to them? Are you praying that they would be saved? The Lord would use you as an instrument to save them. Thirdly, do you pray for laborers? Do you pray to God for laborers, that God would raise up laborers? Do you pray? As a church, do you pray? As an individual, do you pray? I'm sure your church needs laborers too, and more laborers. Are you praying for laborers, deacons, elders, those who can go out and plant churches, that you might equip them as a church? Are you praying? Finally, have you examined your own heart realistically as to what God would want you to do? Have you done that? We have a very comfortable life in this country, more comfortable than in other nations. New Zealanders, not comfortable as you are, but we are comfortable in our country. Better than living in India. We can very easily get used to that. Because just follow this rat race. One of the things in New Zealand, this year, housing, the prices went very high. You can't get a 3-bedroom house in Auckland anywhere for less than $1 million. 4 or 5 times has increased. You know, but people were willing to buy. Willing to buy and sell. That's their goal and motive every day. Every house hunted by real estate people. And same house is sold 3 times in the same day. Because he throws his money and buys it, so he wants to get money and he sells it. So he got 10,000 for the same day, another sale in the same house, more money. We can very easily join this rat race. It could be something else. The kingdom work is forgotten, but it is our work. Have you examined your own heart realistically as to what God would want you to do other than just being a member? What are you doing to contribute to the cause of the gospel? Have you put yourself out there? What are you doing? I'm not saying foolishly walk into be a missionary in this place or that place. You examine your own heart. What are you doing to the progress of the gospel in your church and through your church? Everybody must be able to do something. Every Christian has been blessed with gifts and graces from God. Pastor James, a good example, as a young man of 17 when I first met him, came out of college and started attending our school of theology. I often give a lot of time and talking and helping of their work ethics, moral issues. And eventually God used him to plant a church and became a pastor. He's not yet 40, and he has a wife and a child. Then he saw me and my work, and he examined his own heart, how long he's going to live. This work got to go even after he leaves the earth. So he taught and trained himself on the computers. He can just now go and pick up the pieces from this shop and that shop and put together a computer. He just taught himself to do that. There was a time I taught him. I'm not very good at it, but a little bit. Now he's way, way ahead. I had to phone him to help me out in a lot of things. He does the almost 80% of all the literature work. He does it. Trained himself to be an expert in desktop publishing. And then he thought about it. Okay, he quit his job, and I told him, why are you doing that? I can't pay you. But he said, no, I have worked it out. I'm going to establish a business. 3 days I work, and I get paid, and the rest of the time I want to give to literature work and help you and the church. So he wears many hats now. So he has clients here in Australia, and he says, I only need a few clients and 3 days' work and paid in dollars. And he's doing tremendous work. This gospel work that we are involved in cannot go further without men, without people. And they themselves, looking at themselves, asking those necessary questions before God, God, what would you want me to do? And joining together as a team and working together. Now, he is my right-hand man now in a lot of things. I said, James, look after your health. You've got to live a bit longer. Now, suddenly something happens to me. I cannot put together an issue from A to Z because you have taken it all. From graphic to pagination to designing, everything he does, I only write. We need laborers. And you are here. You have been raised by God, and he graciously saved you and put you here in this church. You have a responsibility to examine your own heart and see what the Lord would want you to do for the furtherance of the gospel. The Lord of the harvest is saying, laborers are few, but the harvest is great. Do we not learn from that? If he is saying that, and we are not God, we are not divine, but he's raised by him, we need to have and learn from that burden. And every day we need to ask that question. It is easy to say laborers are few, but we sit here and do nothing. Where are they going to come? We have a responsibility. We, all of us, we are able to do something with whatever that God has given to us. The laborers are few, but the harvest is great. But I thank you deep down from my heart for your interest in the work that is going on in India. God is joining us together to save people from that pagan land and help them with literature, churches, sound churches. We can go to several churches from one state to another. Where would the Indians go? Pastor Murali has stepped into every church in Bangalore and came with tears, couldn't find a church that he can happily, he and his family, worship. 10 million people or more in Bangalore. And finally, crying out to God. Then God joined us together to establish a church. And what a happy group of people worshiping the Lord, where the word of God is expounded the way it ought to be. And it's a tremendous thing that the Lord is doing. So don't give up, and you can do even more and much more. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we had the opportunity to look at the words of your Son and our Lord Jesus Christ and trying to understand why he said it with this burden that was there. His concerns, his emotions. We were not there, Lord, or God, when he said it. But yet, your scriptures, your revealed will helps us to understand something of that burden that he had in his heart. The laborers are few, but the harvest is great. We pray that you would grant us help, that we would have such confidence and a burden as we view the work that is before us, the great work of the kingdom. We pray and ask that you would help the pastor and the deacons and the members of this church, that you would bring that burden of fire upon their hearts. Oh Lord, oh God, that they would be used by you mightily in the days ahead. We thank you for the privilege of opening up this verse and learning from it. Stir our hearts, Lord, to see the very nature of our own heart and your gracious work in us, that we all might be willing to serve you in whatever the capacity in which you want us to serve. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.